The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. This is part two of our Mega Monday NFL extravaganza. If you missed part one, our buddy Cousin Sal came on to guess the Week 14 lines, talk about the Dallas Cowboys debacle in Arizona, talk about whether he believes in Tebow, played an embarrassing phone call, me, the whole thing. You can check that out on PodCenter or iTunes. Part two, my buddy Gus Ramsey, lifelong Broncos fan. We've been friends since I was 13 years old. And now his team is in the midst of one of the most improbable NFL seasons that we've seen, at least since the 2001 Patriots. He's in studio right now, not in the Subway Fresh Take hotline. You're a lifelong Broncos fan.
Yes.
At what point did you fully embrace Tebow mania? What week was it? What game?
I'll let you know when I get there.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that answer.
I've said from the start that I'm not going to evaluate him until the last game of the season has been played for the Broncos. I just don't think you can. It's, you know, we live in a minute by minute judgment kind of society, and that's why I set the tabometer, as I call it, to keep it clean at a 5.5 when he took over on a scale of 1 to 10. Right now, I'd say it's at a 7, maybe 7.5. But I still start every game not expecting to win, and I'm continually pleasantly surprised by the outcomes. It's been amazing.
I was in the pleasantly surprised standpoint until the McGahee quote last week, and that's what won me over. And that's when yesterday, I always felt like we were in that Minnesota game because McGahee made that comment about people keep counting us out, and all I know is if the game's close, we're going to win. And you can give Tebow 20% credit, 30% credit, 58, whatever. The bottom line is once a team starts thinking that in football, they overachieve. And that's just the way it is. And if the game's close and they think they're going to win, then everything stops making sense. And that's why I think you're in better shape than maybe you're giving this credit for.
Yeah, he also said, though, there's 51 other guys on this team. It's not all about Tim Tebow last week, which raised my eyebrow a little bit. I was like, oh, no, let's not start going down that road. Mm. But to your point, I think in part just because he's had such a great year that I imagine McGahee would like a little bit of attention for what he's done, you know, in the running game, because he's been awesome.
Yeah, I thought he was washed up 2 years ago, so I don't know really where that came from. It really felt like yesterday was when Tebow had the fumble. That's when I was like, oh, all right. Well, one of the reasons this has been working so well is he's not turning the ball over. Now you've turned the ball over twice inside your own 30. Now things are going to start going against you. You're not getting the break. And then somehow it swung back. That was a great game.
Yeah, it was nuts how fast the scores were coming in that stretch. Especially, again, that first half could not have been more hideous.
Yeah.
I mean, it was painful. It was probably worse than the first half against the Jets. And it's just amazing that all of a sudden they come out and go, all right, now this is going to work. And I actually came into work today and rewatched their possessions, because I wanted to see, in thinking about it, I was like, you know what? They didn't run a lot of their read option plays yesterday.
Yeah.
And so I went back and looked. They only ran it, to my novice eye, 6 times, and 4 of them were passes. Because I thought they'd go into that game running a lot of it towards Jared Allen to slow him down and make him have to do a lot of reactionary stuff and not just pass rush. But only 6 times, and 4 of them were throws. He only ran the ball 3 times, and one of them was falling down to set up the field goal. A lot of his passes were out of traditional formation, play action kind of stuff. And he had 5 incomplete passes. The first pass of the game, he threw a bubble screen to Thomas and threw it too far out in front of him. Then he threw one to Thomas where it was a great throw. Thomas didn't get his foot down. They reviewed it and overruled it. So great throw, catch, just not in bounds. He hit Eric Decker right between the numbers and Decker dropped it. He threw the duck that into the end zone that Thomas as he said on SportsCenter today, should have caught. Wasn't a great looking throw, but he put it in the right spot. And Thomas,
I like that throw. Yeah. I was happy with that throw by Tebow.
And Thomas broke his stride on the route. If he keeps running, it lands right in his hands. And then one time he was scrambling and he threw the ball away. He threw the ball great yesterday. Not always great looking, but he threw the ball really well. And my joke,
I totally agree.
My joke the last few weeks has always been, you know, Tim Tebow always throws it. You know, they always say he throws it where the defender can't get it. My joke was Tebow always throws it just far enough from his receivers being able to catch it.
Yeah.
But now he's putting the ball right on the numbers. And, you know, Trent Dilfer last night was raving about him, and Eric Mangini today was talking about just he finally looked comfortable yesterday. He was manipulating the safeties with his eyes. His footwork was better. He's never going to have a great throwing motion. But if he starts to understand the defense is a little bit better and being able to look off guys and go to his second and third options, then you have to think that there's no reason he can succeed. I mean, who had a worse throwing motion than Bernie Kosar?
Or a worse running motion.
Right. But that guy
he had a worse everything.
That guy won games because he understood the position and learned how to play at that level. Tebow may never be as good as Bernie Kosar, but with each game, you're more and more confident. And the struggles that they had in the first half yesterday weren't on him. I mean, their first possession, they started on the one-inch line. McGahee had a fumble. They had the Eric Royal made a catch on a third and like eight that he got tripped up just before the first down marker. So they had some short-circuited drives, but it wasn't like, oh, this isn't working. Tebow's throwing the ball over the field. But those two passes he completed to Thomas when Thomas was out wide open 3 weeks ago, those passes sailed 20 yards over Thomas's head.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. He does four things that if you're just in a vacuum looking at what you want from a quarterback, he does all four of the things. He doesn't turn the ball over, right? That's good. You don't like QBs that turn it over. That means you get to keep the ball more. He's better at the end of games. We always talk about these QBs that, you know, choke or get, you know, they get tight when the pressure's on. He goes the other way. He's a leader and there's something about him. And how many times, you know, we see with Drew Brees, we see with all these different guys, like Andy Dalton, even a little bit this year, like these guys that from a personality standpoint, there's just something about them that galvanizes a team versus a guy like Kevin Cobb who doesn't have that quality. And we know it, we can see it. And yet every year we don't value it the way maybe we should. And then the fourth thing is, he'll have one or two or three wow plays every game, which I think is a necessity for a QB, right? Like even that touchdown where it seemed like he was going to get sacked. He shed the tackle or he found, I think it was Thomas. Thomas ran down the left sideline.
Yep.
Like he's doing that three times a game. And, you know, those are four really good qualities for a starting QB, I would say, right?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, the thing about him, the number one thing I think is that everyone else on that team has bought in. He has made them all believers. That's the point you made a little while ago.
Yeah.
That they all feel like doesn't matter as long as he's out here, we're going to have a chance. Herm Edwards played in that celebrity golf tournament out in Utah they have every summer and played with Tebow. And he came back and the first thing he said is that guy will lead men. That guy, players will respond to him once they put him on the field.
Yeah.
Demaryius Thomas today, who missed all the Orton games this year because he was hurt. His first week back was the same week that Tebow came back. He said something just kind of changed on the sidelines when he became our quarterback on both sides of the ball. So I think every NFL analyst that I've ever spoken to has said all NFL players look to be led and they will buy into anybody that they believe in. I think that's the number one thing. And while they can all sit there and look at him and watch him throw those passes 20 yards over guys' heads and go, Jesus, what the heck? After a while, when you keep winning games the way he is, everyone's going to buy in. Now, have they beaten great teams? No. The win against the Jets, I think, is a legit win. Some of these other teams that they're beating are not.
Miami was the really lucky one.
Miami was lucky. But again, to your point, he thrives in the two-minute drill. I think he starts getting better in the two-minute drill. In that, I think it was their last drive yesterday. There was a play where he rolled out to his right and threw about a 15-yard pass that got called back for holding. But he made a great throw on the run to his opposite side because I think he's not – at that point, he's not thinking mechanics. He's just playing football, as he says.
Well, the reason I said it was lucky was because they got an onside kick.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sure. Certainly improbable.
You get an onside kick or Hail Mary, certainly, it's got it. There's some major luck involved.
Certainly improbable. By the way, I heard what you and Sal were talking about with the Hail Marys, and I have spent all morning saying the same thing. We have to rethink the knock it down. Now we knock it back up over your head out of the back of the end zone. We had Mangini on the show, and he diagrammed the Hail Mary from an offensive and defensive perspective. And he was, because I heard you say we need like a sports science thing. The way he coaches it is you only have one jumper on offense, which yesterday was Baldwin for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You have one guy go around behind, which was Dwayne Bowe. You have one guy in front, which was McCluster. And then a guy on each side kind of crashing in. And that the defenses should – everybody needs to box out, and you just have the one guy jump with their one jumper. But the Bears had like three jumpers. But now that everyone's taught to bat it down – get a guy down where McCluster is. So I agree with you. If it's in the end zone, just try and bat it up in the air, backwards out of the end zone.
Does seem like it really does almost get caught more than it should. Like even like going back to that famous Pittsburgh-San Diego playoff game, I think in like 94 or 95. Remember it seemed like
Harbaugh.
The guy caught it?
Yeah, Harbaugh.
Yeah. Or was it Pindianapolis or Indianapolis-San Diego?
San Diego, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, man, it does seem like you just lie that guy underneath the pile and he's just sitting there waiting for it to be caught. But,
all right, let's address the elephant in the room because we're now 2 weeks away.
Oh, the flex game.
Yeah. First of all, I don't know what CBS, I think, gets a right to block. So that'll.
How many do they get to block? Like two per month or something?
I'm not sure the numbers. They obviously let them. They didn't block Pat's Colts this week.
Of course.
So the game right now is San Diego Baltimore, which will be an AFC versus AFC versus an AFC versus AFC swap out. Not a big deal for the other juggling the other networks like they had to do with Fox and CBS this week with the Broncos game.
Yeah.
So if CBS has a block, you would think that they would block it, but I don't know if like the league wink wink says,
all right, hey dudes,
we need this one. It's Tim Tebow against the Patriots. Now, the Pats do not have a great history, even when good, when they come to Denver.
Oh, really? You don't have to tell me.
I hate going to Denver. I wanted to remind you.
Yeah, thank you.
At the moment, what's your confidence level in that game?
Oh, I'm terrified of Tebow. I don't like when sports defies logic. That's why I've been picking him every week in the Super Contest. Once logic is thrown out the window, all bets are off. And for whatever reason, this team just believes it can win. And I said to Sal, I don't know if you're on the phone for that, when they had that 2 point that they needed to get, 2 points are pretty hard. Like you always kind of feel like your team's probably not going to get it.
Yep.
I had 100% confidence that he was running it in and getting it. There's no doubt in my mind. I would have bet anything.
Yeah, it was.
And it's just a weird place that they're at. I've never quite seen anything like this in my football fan life.
I'm trying to rationalize it. Maybe like the 88 Dodgers, who just had that awful lineup. And you're just like, how does this team ever win games besides the fact that Oral Hershiser pitches every fifth day?
Wait a second. The 0-1 Patriots were like this. Everybody forgets because Brady's good now, but we were terrible offensively that year. We couldn't run the ball and we couldn't throw it. And it was special teams and Troy Brown and good coaching and a lot of luck. And that's why they won the Super Bowl. It certainly didn't make sense.
Yeah. But you didn't have a quarterback who people didn't think could play quarterback. I mean, at least from a mechanical standpoint.
Well, true. Yeah. But the book on Brady was that, you know, they couldn't win with him and those receivers. And when they, you know, there's going to come a time in the playoffs when they're going to have to throw the ball and he won't be able to do it. And like, look at the snow game, or as Raider fans call it, the tuck rule game.
Right.
Like there's not a weirder win that you could have than that game. Vinatieri made, I think, a 44-yarder in a driving blizzard and kicked a ball that was like, you know, weighed 25 pounds. But somehow went in. That's the thing. Like sometimes logic just gets thrown out the window. Like if you win that Pats game, don't you feel like you're at that point?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, that's why I'm a little worried about this game with the Bears. I mean, no Cutler, no Forte. This is going to be one of those, oh, geez, on paper, we should win this one kind of games, which that's going to be like the true test. Because all along, even going into yesterday, I've entered all these games with like, nah, I don't feel good about this. It's just, you know, sooner or later, that shoe's going to drop or whatever. But the fact that they did it yesterday fairly conventionally in the way they ran their offense was encouraging, and it's going to have to force teams to reconsider. A lot of big plays Denver got out of the passing game were because there was only one safety back there, and the safety, you know, either bad chips on the line of scrimmage from the DBs not getting a body on the receiver and breaking loose, or that safety having to decide, am I going to cover this guy or that guy, and making bad choices.
So, well, this is pretty crazy. Like, you've won 7 games.
Yep.
The first game was that goofy Cincinnati game that you got outplayed that whole time and you won by 2.
Yep.
You win the Miami game by 3 in overtime. You beat Oakland by 14. That's your only, like, kind of sort of blowout. You beat KC by 7. You beat the Jets by 4. You beat the Chargers by 3. And you beat Minnesota by 3.
Yeah.
You've only had one win of more than 7 points.
No. And as a friend of mine points out, by the way, look at what has happened to the Lions since they beat Tebow.
Oh, it's like he put a pox on him.
Yeah. And now, you know, they had no Adrian Peterson this week, no Forte and Cutler next week. So from that standpoint, you should be worried about the Pats.
Yeah. The Patriots, I'm looking at the 0-1 team. We lost a game, and I was in Vegas when it happened because I was there for a fight. We lost to the Rams when the Rams were at the height of their Warner, unstoppable whole thing. We lost by 7. And the Pats were 5-5 at that point. And it just looked like, hey, look at that young, frisky Pats team. Beat the Saints by 17. Won at the Jets by 1. Beat the Browns by 11. Won an OT game at Buffalo by 3 that they had no business winning. And then beat the Dolphins by 7. And then in the last week killed the Panthers. But, you know, even the playoff games. Beat Oakland by 3. Steelers by 7. Rams by 3. You win that, you start winning those close games, it becomes like a little bit of a habit. And I got to say, like, you know, Sal was joking about Baltimore killing Denver in round 1. If it comes to that, there'll be a 4 seed against a 5 seed. Not to get ahead of ourselves. But, you know, that's a game where it just looks like the classic, there's no way Baltimore should lose this game, right?
Yeah.
Like, they'll be favored by 7.5. 7.5?
Probably. And you'll have, you know, the Ray Lewis will be all over Tebow and...
Yeah, everyone's going to talk about how the Ravens are going to suffocate Tim Tebow, blah, blah, blah. But yet the game's going to be in Denver. And I think, here's the thing. I think we're going to see, you're home this week, right?
3 of the last 4 are home. After, I mean, that's the most impressive thing I think Tebow's done. He's winning all these games on the road. He beat the Jets at home after losing the Lions at home, but swept the division on the road, then won at Minnesota, then we're home, Chicago, New England, at Buffalo, home, Kansas City.
Safe to say, crowd will be out of its mind for this game on Sunday.
Yeah, because they've really only had one Tebow experience home game.
And it was
so
Detroit,
far.
And they got killed within a minute.
Well, that was his second game, but then they beat the Jets at home on that.
Oh, that's right. They had the Jets game.
I mean, it'll be nuts.
The most fired up the Broncos fan base has been for a team since, would you go back to Elway, or would you say the one Plummer season?
No, I don't think. I think this surpasses the Plummer season. I mean, they're always excited, especially when they're winning. But I've talked to a couple of Denver area people and writers, and this is matching Super Bowl era stuff. It's a little disappointing.
This is Elway Davis.
Imagine if Cutler was coming back, if he was with the Bears.
Oh my God!
It would be bananas. I mean, it's already going to be bananas. But
what does Tom Jackson say?
You know, he's the one guy I haven't had a chance to talk to. You know, I talk to Mark Schlereth every once in a while, and he still hosts a radio show in Denver. And he says, you know, that's all they talk about nonstop is Tim Tebow. But
you know the big secret winner in this whole thing, Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, he's quasi-validated. But yeah, as a sports fan, these are the best seasons. I mean, I went into this expecting maybe 6 wins. You know, so when you get like a gift of, hey, we're winning games and they're exciting. I mean, some of these games, they're excruciating to watch. I mean, the offense looks so bad and it's 3-0 or 10-3 and you're just like, oh God, this is painful. But like, everybody on Twitter yesterday is telling me, can we just fast forward to the fourth quarter? Cause you know it's going to happen, and it does. It's nuts.
I couldn't believe I was home cause I had to do work yesterday. I was watching by myself. I taped the Pats game. I put the Pats game on one of the smaller TVs, and I put Tebow on the big screen. I was by far so much more fascinated by Tebow than I was about how many, whether the Pats are going to beat the Colts by 30, 20, or 15 points. It just was no contest. And I was like, I'll tape the game and dissect it later.
Well, they were
but
on.
But for now, in the moment, I want Tebow.
They were on locally yesterday. So it's not often that, because I don't have the Sunday package, that I get to just watch them on the big screen. Usually I'm watching them on the internet on my computer. So at 4:11 yesterday, right before the Broncos kick off after tying the game, the local Fox tries to switch over to the Giants pregame for a few minutes before it starts at 4:15. So first they switch over to Houston, Atlanta, which was one of the other early games. And I mean, you can tell whoever's changing the transponders at the local Fox affiliate is pushing all of the wrong buttons because it's just like this bad sequence of channel changing. And I'm in panic mode. I'm like, wait, I'm quickly dialing up the internet site. And then I'm like, oh no, wait, Red Zone. I forgot for a minute that I had Red Zone. I was so flustered by what was going on. So I missed the Goodman interception that set up the game winning field goal.
I don't feel sorry for you because you could get the package and then write it off for tax purposes. I've been telling you this for 10 years.
I'm not asking you to.
It's a total write off. As your accountant, I'm telling you to write it off.
Now, speaking of,
you could have seen the Andre Good would the Andre Goodman interception have been worth $169 for you?
Probably not.
All right. Well, maybe like 30.
No, I think the writing it off is overrated. You have to reach a certain amount of expenditures before you can write it off. So
All right. It's
not as simple as it sounds. Now, the last time you had me on a podcast to talk about the Broncos specifically, and not Madden, you made me apologize to Kyle Orton.
Oh yeah.
The Broncos,
I forgot that.
The Broncos were 6-0. You had me come on, say how sorry I was, blah, 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 blah. They finished, I think, 8-8 that year. They didn't make the playoffs.
Nope.
Kyle Orton is now gone and completely irrelevant. I would like you to apologize for making me apologize.
You left out the part where he played one play yesterday and immediately broke his finger.
Yeah.
What a cameo that was. Poor Palco had to come back in, and then somehow that worked out for the Chiefs. Go figure.
We're benching you. Oh, wait. No, we're not.
Yeah,
go back in there.
The benching. Oh, wait. No, we didn't mean it. Go back in. That's never worked out in the history of sports except for yesterday.
Yeah.
I apologize to you
for
making you defend the neckbeard.
Thank you.
But now I'm going to make you apologize for not going full-fledged in on this Tebow.
Well, I will tell you this about Tebow. I have not trimmed my goatee since the win over the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So normally it's like a once a week thing, and I'm now saying I'm not trimming it until they lose.
I'm not getting a little Todd Haley.
I'm not Brian Wilson yet, but it's a little longer than normal. So I'm buying into the superstition part of it. I haven't worn any Bronco paraphernalia on game day during the streak. So I'm cognizant of these kind of things.
I will say this. There's nothing more fun than when your team unexpectedly makes a run when you've completely given up on that team. And that's kind of what happened with the 0-1 Pats, which is, that's always going to be my favorite football season. And there's just something when you have no expectations and no real pressure, and it's just fun, and the team's overachieving, and it just makes no sense, and you just ride it. Like, that's the best you can do as a sports fan, I think. So
no, and I'm
rooting for you.
I said recently, it's, granted, again, he played very well yesterday, and he's taking steps as a quarterback. But a while ago, it was like he was redefining what it means to be a winner, because the guys that we think about as winners are always good. Michael Jordan didn't stink for three quarters and then play great. Derek Jeter wasn't a 220 hitter who would then just get big hits. Tebow up until yesterday was legitimately shaky at best until the very last minutes of games. It's one of the most bizarre things I think we've ever seen.
Yeah, it makes no sense. He really, like, I've never seen a quarterback who, I wrote this a couple weeks ago, it's like it looks sometimes like he's almost playing with a disability. His throws are so bad. His throws are so much worse than anybody else who plays that commission. That the position as a starter, and then all of a sudden he locks in. It's weird. It's almost like watching a pitcher who doesn't get to warm up.
Yeah.
And the pitcher comes out and just the ball's flying over the place, and then by like the fourth inning they settle down.
Yeah, but that's
a little bit how I feel watching him.
That's what made yesterday so encouraging, because he really threw the ball well, and maybe he's taken a step. Now look, Of these last four games, three of them I think are winnable. I still don't like our chances against the Patriots just because you guys are going to score a lot of points.
And we're good against them, right?
But we have tiebreaker over the Raiders. We have tiebreaker over the Bengals at the moment. So if you tell me now we're going to be in the playoffs, I'll take my chances. You know, unlike the Orton year when they started 6-0, and you started to kind of like, ooh, maybe win three more games, we'll be in the playoffs. And that was the start of the year. This is a much different thing just because of the way they've won and obviously because of Tebow and Von Miller.
I hope people on our ESPN shows today are mentioning that part of the reason Tebow looked awesome at quarterback is because Minnesota's secondary is a flat-out debacle, right?
Yes.
That matters a little bit. No. The guy's wide open on like four different plays.
That has been mentioned. But again,
okay, good.
He threw...
No, I know. He connected. He made the throws.
He would have overthrown at least one of those passes 2 weeks ago by a significant amount. And he made other really good throws.
And as you said, the Thomas throw, the Thomas drop, that would have been a touchdown, was a really good throw. He put it perfect.
Yeah. And he threw like about a 12-yard, down and in to Eric Decker in the third quarter, I think. It was a sliding catch, but he put it right where it had to be, hit Decker right between the 88 and 7, and he dropped it.
I think you go 10-6. And I'll tell you another thing. I think the Raiders are done. I think that Rolando McClain thing really screwed that team up. And I don't think they had the greatest foundation to begin with. Those are a lot of soft wins on that schedule. I mean, you go through and you had, they beat Houston was their best win. They beat Cleveland by 7. San Diego by 7. Turns out San Diego's not even good. So that wasn't nearly as impressive as we thought. They barely beat Minnesota by 6. And then they beat Chicago by 5 and Caleb Haney's first start. Might be a little of a smoke and mirrors 7-5. Now they got Green Bay next week, home for Detroit, at KC, and then home for San Diego. That feels like 8-8, 9-7 for them, I think. I think you're in the driver's seat.
I would agree. I mean, 3 weeks ago, I really liked the Raiders. I thought their offensive and defensive lines could really dominate games, but they do feel like they've regressed.
They rolled over in that game yesterday.
It's weird because they had won 3 in a row going into that game yesterday. So it's not.
I was going to tweet during that game that the Raiders defense looked like Rolando McClain was allegedly holding a gun to its head, but I thought that was in poor taste. But I could say it here because you can hear the context, and I'm joking. But in a tweet, that might have been a tough one. But they looked very like skittish and not that interested, which is a bad combination if you're playing defense in the National Football League. Gus Ramsey. As always, a pleasure. We will have to have you back if this Tebow thing keeps going.
Well, maybe.
I assume that it will, and I assume you're going to be back.
Yeah, well, I think in a couple of weeks we'll have if nothing else, I think that Patriots game will give a really good litmus test for where the Broncos are in this process and whether or not we can consider them pretenders or contenders, as they say, if they get into the playoffs.
All right, let's come back next week to preview that Broncos-Pats game.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk to you.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.